What's going on, family? I am so grateful that you decided to tune in today for the Word of God. And I'm telling you, week three of Wicked is on another level. You are about to see. But before we get into today's message, I want to invite you personally to Easter at Transformation Church. This year, we have such an amazing experience that is literally being cultivated just for you, your families, and for those who are far from Christ. Remember the vision of our church: to represent God to the lost and found for transformation in Christ. That means lost people are a part of the heart of what we are supposed to do. And I wanna encourage you to invite people to Easter. Matter of fact, Easter is coming up April 20th. And some of you even might want to come, because the production that we're about to put on is about to be next level. If you don't know, around here we do something called Ransom at Easter. If you've never seen it, I'm inviting you to come check it out for yourself. Come see for yourself. Come see what God is doing and how this allegory is represented, and it shows the power of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Get the whole family involved. April 18th, 19th, and 20th. On the 20th, it's when we're gonna show it to everybody online. And I'm telling you, it's gonna be transformation for you and your family. So gather everybody around and let's see what God does. Today is week three of a series that we are calling Wicked, helping us understand the difference between being wicked when we are worshiping wealth and being wicked when we are wasting wealth. Our goal as believers is to walk in wisdom with wealth. And today, I want to teach a message that may give you a picture that you will never forget. Today's message is called Don't Hate the Player, God's Starting Five. Enjoy this.
Open your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off every weight, everything that hinders, and especially the sin that so easily entangles us. How many people know that there's some weight and some sin that have been, let me say it like this, that you've been dragging around for a season of your life that needs to come to an end? Weight or sin? Hands. I need hot people. Like, it's either a weight or it's sin. That's everybody in this room. The Holy Spirit is admonishing us to lay aside all of the weight, all of the sin, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus. Somebody say focus. Say it with faith. Say focus. Focus on Jesus, who's the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Write this point down. I've said it every week of every series we've done this year. But fixing your eyes on Jesus gives you the faith to focus. Most of you are so distracted is because you're looking at the thing instead of the one who controls the thing. People are waiting for the universe to give them something, and we serve the God of the universe. Fix your eyes on Jesus. And when it comes to focus, many people have to focus on God so they know what to do with, watch this, their money. And I'm just grateful that I've been through this process of going from somebody who was greedy in my heart. I'm just telling my testimony. Greedy in my heart, poverty-minded, did not know how to handle anything that God gave me, was living beyond my means. I had a Land Rover, and I bought this Land Rover. And when your Land Rover, first off, if you buy a luxury car and it's 15 years old, and it's your new car, and it has, I'm not saying anything, but except I was trying to live outside of my range. I was trying to stunt on people, and come to find out, I wasn't stunting on nobody. Because that mug was broke down all the time. And the oil change on a luxury car is different than Luby's. Y'all got what I'm saying? I went from wasting wealth to worshiping wealth to then getting to the place where I believe all believers should be, having wisdom with wealth. The Bible tells us above all other things, get, everybody say it with me, wisdom. Would you say to somebody else that you are wise with wealth? I know you're a good person. I know your swag is phenomenal. I know you have a great personality and nobody can mess with your makeup game. But are you wise with your resources? Only you can answer that question. A lot of people lie about it. There are husbands and wives right now that fight about it. There are men in this room that are over the finances because I'm the man and you can't add. No, come on now. In my family, my daddy, come on now. She's your helpmate for a reason. But because of pride, we will stay in a position. And then there's some ladies who your degree, and I got more degrees than I got, but you don't have self-control. So you hiding and stashing. He don't know nothing about it, baby, how the money. It's good, it's good, it's good. Amazon at your house every day. Hey, John. Hey, John. Hey, John. Hey, John. Hey, John. Am I telling my testimony? Oops. I'm just saying, maybe it's time for the believers who want our faith to be big to have our stewardship to be bigger. You didn't hear what I just said. For everything you're believing God for, you still have to manage it. And so if you're praying big prayers, you need to pray for big management. If you're praying for big dreams and big teams and big staff and big cash, you need to pray for big stewardship. Because the thing that kills believers more than anything else is God gives you what you prayed for and you wasn't ready for it. It's killed more marriages, it's killed more ministries, it's killed more dreams because we didn't pray or prepare for the level of stewardship that we were believing God to pour out his blessing. God don't need to open the windows of heaven for many of us. He just needs to, he needs to just slip something through the keyhole for us. Y'all know what I'm saying? Because we're not ready to open the windows of heaven. How big is a window in heaven? Pour you out a blessing you don't have room enough to receive right now. We need to pray for the management to match. And what I want to tell Transformation Church is I'm proud of you. Because we've been in this series for 2 weeks. This is week three. And because I believe that the hearts of the people at Transformation Church are moldable. None of us come in here like, no, I know everything. The reason we come here is because we don't know everything and we want God to show us the places where we're in darkness and we want him to lead us in the right direction. I got with our team that collects all the stats and the numbers of things that are happening because there's tens of thousands of us that are gathered a part of Transformation Church. Thousands in this room and tens of thousands that are online a part of TC Nation. And let me just give y'all some praise reports real quick. And the reason I say it's a praise report is because it's proof that you're getting it. If I ask you to do something because God's word says it, how do we know that we're actually obeying God? Because there's proof that we're doing it. And so I just want to let you know, in the last 2 weeks, there has been 625 new givers. Have never given before ever. Oh, y'all, that's huge, y'all. 625 people took the step of faith. When I saw that number, I said 625 families have the ability to now walk into another level of blessing and stewardship. 625 people have stepped over the barrier of fear and stepped into faith. Y'all, I got too happy because I know what happened when I did it. I told the team in the back, I said, I'm so happy for all of these people because what they're saying is I'm no longer in control. God, it's above me now. Y'all missed it. It's above me now. I honored you. And you see what's going on. Do your thing. You're going to have to come through. Your word says, test me. And I am so proud of the people in this room and online who have stepped over that line. Let me tell you something that's even like doper, and many of you won't get it until you get it. But there's 307 people who said, I'm not going to debate every time I get paid. They have set their families up on reoccurring giving. They said, take it. The government take theirs. I know what I make. God, I'm not putting you last. I'm putting you first. Y'all don't understand what happens. And it's so simple, but it does take faith. It's so simple. Watch this, but it's not easy. Because of the faithfulness of the people in this room, we are walking into another level of blessing. And it reminds me of what I've been praying for you all week. I've been praying for you what God did for the church and the city in 2 Chronicles. I'm praying it over your life. Let me tell you what he did for them. Hezekiah was a king at the time, and he realized that the entire nation was in famine and in recession. And he was reading some old scriptures, and what ended up happening is he realized that they were disobeying God because they weren't bringing a tenth of everything that God gave them to him. And so he puts out a decree. Hey, everybody, I don't know how y'all gonna take this, but we gotta start tithing because y'all see it's already not going good. But God said if he would do it, it would be his bill and his deal. And so I want everybody, this is a government official putting out to the whole world, y'all, we gotta tithe or our nation's going down. Second Chronicles 31, verse 4. It said, moreover, he commanded the people who dwelt in Jerusalem to contribute support for the priests and the Levites that they might devote themselves to the law of the Lord. As soon as the commandment was circulated, as soon as the group text went out, the children of Israel obeyed and brought in abundance the first fruits or the tithe of the grain and the wine and the oil and the honey. They brought the tenth of their increase and all the produce of their field. And they brought in abundantly the tithe of everything. And the children of Israel and Judah who dwelt in the cities of Judah brought the tithe of oxen, sheep, also the tithe of holy things, which were consecrated to the Lord their God. They laid it out in heaps. In the third month, they began laying them out in heaps, and they finished in the seventh month. And when Hezekiah and the leaders came and saw the heaps, they blessed the Lord and his people of Israel. Then Hezekiah questioned, hey, is everybody okay? These heaps is really heaping. This is a lot of heaps. Verse 10, and Azariah said, since the people began to bring the offerings into the house of the Lord, we have had enough to eat and have had plenty left. For the Lord has blessed his people, and what is left is the great abundance. He said, this is just the heap, is just the tithe. He said, the people doing fine. Matter of fact, they doing better than fine. Since they started doing it your way, God's way. He said, this is the 10%. Wait till you see the 90%. I've been praying this blessing over every person that God would allow you to step out in faith and you not even feel it. I'm telling you what your pastor has been praying for you. It's that your faith step, you'll be like, oh, shoot. I have been obeying God consistently. I didn't even feel that. Okay. And I know, when I'm talking about money, people's booties get tight. Oh, I know your face is scrolled up. You don't laugh at stuff that's funny. I see you. I'm looking at you. Hello. Some of y'all look like you were baptized in pickle juice. It really looks... Like, why did I come? I should have gone to another church today. But I think God has a message for you. And I think tithing is kind of a serious thing to God. Grayson, Charles, will y'all stand up real quick? And I just want to show you this easy example. Let's say I'm going away on a trip. And let's say, I'm going to provide for Pastor Natalie. She ain't going to have to worry about nothing. No ting. She don't have to worry about no ting. I'm already providing for her, but I want to funnel some extra funds through my guys. And so I'm going to give each one of y'all $10,000 a month. It's just an example, Grayson. Calm down. I'm gonna give each of y'all $10,000 a month, but all I'm asking is you give $1,000 to Natalie every month. It's easy. So I'm gone for a few months. I don't know what's cracking. Natalie's good. I call her back and say, hey, babe, yeah, how's everything going with the finances that were supposed to be coming in from my guys? She said, let's talk about it real quick. Will sends $1,000 every month like clockwork. Every time, I mean, it's almost like the first and the 15th, 500, 500, clockwork. I said, that's good. All right, Will. What about Charles? Charles, he sends 2,000. I didn't ask him to send 2,000. I know, but every time he sends 2,000. Okay. So what about Trader? I mean, Grayson. Well, we need to talk about Grayson. The first month he sent 700. The second month he sent 250. And this last month he didn't send anything. He ain't send nothing. Yeah, he didn't send anything. Now, what would be my response as the one who provided the 10,000 for them in the first place? Somebody said, finish him. No, I'm not going to Mortal Kombat him. But what I am going to do is I'm going to take what I was funneling through him and give it to someone who is trustworthy. You don't think God is going to do that? Go back and watch last week's message when we talked about the talents. All I'm saying is, doesn't this story sound familiar? Didn't Jesus tell us, I'm going away for a little bit? He said, and I need the people that are a part of this thing to take care of my bride. Isn't the church called the bride of Christ? Okay. And he said, all I need you to do is honor me with the 10% to take care of my bride. What I'm saying is tithing may be more personal to Jesus than we think. Selah. Pause and think. Is this the hill we want to fight God on? No, I know. Like, what about the dinosaurs? And what about this? And what about, but is giving really the thing that we're like, show me, prove it to me, tell me. That's the one you want to do? Today, I thought it would be good for me to zoom out. Because I feel like sometimes when I start talking about giving and stuff like that, I'm trying to convince somebody of something that ain't even mine to convince you of. This is what God set up. This is how he wants his children to live. I'm just telling you about it. I don't want you to be in ignorance. I just want you to be informed. But how you live, that's on you. Me, I'm already over here blessed. Oh, y'all. I'm not blessed because I'm part of Transformation Church. I'm blessed because I obey the principles that God gives. What I'm telling you right now is your blessing is in obedience. And so I said, what would make somebody fight giving? And I thought, it's because they just don't understand how important it is in the grand scheme of God's plan. So can we zoom out today for a second? Everybody just, we're gonna zoom out for a second. Because Proverbs 3:9-10 says, honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing and your vats will brim over with new wine. I want that. I want the overflowing vats. I don't know what a vat is completely, but I want it. So then I probably should actually find out why this is important. And it brought me to watching basketball. And, you know, sports are just a universal analogy that most people get. If you don't get it, I'll walk slow today, and I promise you, you'll be okay. March Madness is going on right now. And there are a few teams left. We're almost down to the final four. And when I was watching basketball, I was talking to one of my friends, and I saw this clip that happened November 25th, 2017. It was a game against Alabama against Minnesota. And there was a moment in this game where these two college teams are playing, and several members of the Alabama team foul out, and then one of them gets hurt, and they get into this situation where they're playing this game 3-on-5. In a college D1 game, three players against how many players? Five players. And this fascinated me. Matter of fact, instead of me talking about it, let me just show you a little clip of what happened in this game.
Good on the three, and he's hurt. Alabama's playing with four players and now down to three. Sexton's going to try to make something happen. Shoots it. And hits! It's a three! Sexton down six. 3-on-5. Dishes off. It's a dunk!
He single-handedly kept Alabama in this ball game. He was getting oxygen on the bench. He was huffing and puffing.
Stadium is your new national news and sports network. We focus on the sports at Stadium, folks. The only 24/7 network available on both television and digital services without a cable subscription.
40 points for Collins. Three players against five players. You could say they were a man down. They were playing in a game with opposition, not fully manned. Did you see the moment where he shot the free throw? And then he walked over and gave high fives to the air? Y'all gotta go back and watch the clips again. He was supposed to be unified with something that was not there. And I begin to think about how this team lost 89-84, almost won the game. But we will never know what that game could have been if they would have had all the players on the basketball court. I started to think about most believers, that most believers are playing this life a man down. Most believers are putting prayer in the game and church going in the game. But they're leaving some of the best players that God has intended to be a part of the process of the game of life and the life of faith. We have been playing a man down. And today, I'm just coming to ask you, don't hate the player. Some of y'all hate the players. You're hating on the players that God has chosen to be the conduit to shape your faith. And you getting run off the court. Everything is able to take you out because you will not play all the players that are there for you to play. In our faith, we have five things that God says that every believer should be constantly working their faith in, that should be playing at all times on the court. It's God's starting five. But you hate the player. You don't like the way this player comes in. You don't like the way that they was forced onto your team. I don't know, I wouldn't even pick that player. You not the GM. Okay. You don't get to make the roster, you just get to coach the players. You're the one that can send them into the game or take them out of the game, but you don't get to choose if they have the jersey. And God has chosen a starting five for every believer. And most of y'all would rather run 3-on-5 and get your butt kicked than play all the players that God has called us to have. Matter of fact, I need y'all to see this analogy even deeper. Let me introduce to you God's starting lineup.
Ladies Ladies and gentlemen, from the foundation of time, God has desired his kingdom to be here on earth as it is in heaven. So today I'm introducing to you the team that represents the king. It is the Kingdom Conquerors, starting at our first position. He is the one that was there since the garden. Give it up for Prayer! And ladies and gentlemen, coming right after Prayer, it is the thing, the love letter he left for all of humanity. He's at the number two spot. Will you give it up for Bible Reading? And at our third position, he tells us that it's not good for man to be alone. So in God's starting five, at number three, it is Gathering at Church. And at number four, he's the man that makes everything work. There are certain things that don't change unless this person is a lockdown defender. Will you give it up for Fasting? Ladies and gentlemen, will you give it up? Fasting, try again, fasting, try again, get fasting, get a layup. There we go. Will we give it up for the Kingdom Conquerors? All right, you can bring the lights up, that was great.
What'd you say? That's only four? One. We got Prayer. We got Bible Reading. We got Gathering in the Church. We got Fasting. Okay. Well, most of us like this. Let's be honest. Most of us are okay with this. Most of us are good. Matter of fact, the whole bench don't get to play. Coach Ray, could you come out here for me real quick? See, because Coach Ray is going to represent all of y'all. And yeah, Coach Ray. Yeah, Coach Ray. So the thing about Coach Ray is Coach Ray gets to dictate who actually plays the game. Before you are saved, none of the players are on the court. And as soon as you are born, the game starts. So what I'm saying is, it is important for us, if you are not saved, if you've not given your life to Jesus Christ, if you have not turned over control, and today I want you to do that, because there's no players. You're not praying. You're not reading your Bible. You sure ain't fasting. Come on now. It's not happening. But most of us, the first thing that we can do if we are in a dire situation, grandma might have taught us how to do it. We do it before we eat our food. We invite up Prayer. Prayer, come on, Prayer. Come on, Prayer. How many people like to pray? Glory to God. Okay. If you like to pray, cool. Prayer is connection. Prayer is our player of connection. James 5:16, it says, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. Because the effectual, fervent prayers of righteous people avail much. We need prayer on our team. Prayer sometimes is the only thing that we can get to. It's communication and connection with God. Prayer was what Adam and Eve were doing in the cool of the day. It was the first thing the enemy was trying to interrupt, their connection. The reason he came in to lie to them, because he wanted to Adam and Eve to not be connected to their source. And the reason God fights so hard to have a connection with you is because when you talk to him, there's a transfer. You get heavenly power to do earthly things when you're in connection with him. But that's why distractions come to break the connection. Anger comes to break the connection. Sin comes to break the connection. Every believer should have prayer on their team. And not just once in a while, every day, every hour, every minute. For me, sometimes, every moment. That's why the Bible says to us in Philippians 4:6, don't worry about anything. He gives us a trade. Instead, do what? Pray. Not gossip, not complain, not. He said, I'm giving you the antidote to worry. Put prayer on the floor. And pray about everything. Pray about my edges going about. Pray about everything. Come on, y'all. Pray about growing a little taller. Pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he's already done. Then you will experience, watch this. This is the guarantee of your prayer. It's not what you pray for. Hear what I just said. The guarantee of your prayer is not what you pray for. The guarantee of your prayer is peace. God said, you can pray about stuff, bring it to me, thank me for what I've already done. He said, and then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything you can even understand right now. His peace will guard your heart and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. And so we put prayer on the floor, and then we like, you know what? Prayer, come on down here, man. You on the floor, brother. I appreciate you, brother. Thanks for the connection with God, baby. And most of us, as long as we have prayer, we think like, God understands my heart. We talked. Thing about prayer is if you talk to him, he gonna talk back to you. And many times when he talks back to you, he'll say stuff like this. Go to that church. God, you know I don't do people. Come on, these are some of the things we say. No, you know it's too big. You know it's too small. You know they don't play the worship music I like. And finally, somebody invites you that maybe you like, or maybe is a friend, or maybe is a client, and you going because you actually want to get a sale. And God's not offended by none of that. He said, I'll let you come in any way you can. And then what a lot of believers do is they put prayer on the floor, and then they put gathering in church. Come on out here, gathering in church. Yeah. What's up, man? And see, gathering in church is something God tells us to do. It's gathering in community. It's Acts 2:42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to, prayer. There it is again, prayer. There you go. Everyone was filled with awe, and the many wonders and signs were performed by the apostles. All the believers were, somebody say together. And they had everything in common. Going to church, gathering in church, is something that God intends for all of his children to do. I understand that some of you are in situations where you may cannot gather with a bunch of people consistently, but most of you are. I understand the one-off situations, but do you know what Barna, which is a company that does a lot of church surveys, they say the average Christian goes to church one time a month. Once a month. I can't even start my sermon series from last week because you still on last month. How can we build? How can we continue? How can I teach you something and you go to one class a week? But most believers, I pray and I go to church occasionally. And do you know the sad thing about this is where most people's Christian faith stops. This is what you about to put on the floor every day to fight the enemy who wants to take your head off. I'm gonna pray about it, and man, I'm going to go to church when it get real bad. I felt something. I was on the toilet and I felt something. Man, God told me to go to church today. And you know what? I went to church and it was just what I need. It was my hit. It was my drug. It was the thing that made me feel better for. I'll be good till next month. And I'm not saying, I get it. I was there one time. I'm just telling you, this thing is more important. I'm not just putting two people on the floor when my life and my children and my family are in the balance. But when a believer gets to the next level, what believers are supposed to do is they go and put the Bible on the floor. Coach, put the Bible in. How many people love reading the Word of God? I sound like hatching dinosaurs. Because the truth of the matter is, most of us have more dust on our Bible than scriptures memorized from them. The Bible, write this down, is concrete. It's the one thing we can't change. It's the thing we're supposed to build our foundation on. Isaiah 40:8, it says, the grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of God will stand forever. Psalms 119:105, the word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. If you are a super Christian, this your team right here. I reads the Bible and I knows what it says. Hey, y'all. I go to my church, don't nobody stop me from getting into the house of God, and I got a seat. And if you sit in my seat, I'll. And me and God, can't nobody steal our connection. Me and him. Watch this. 30 years, 40 years, 50 years, whole life of faith. Three people. This is what everybody is clapping for. This is what everybody is applauding for. Yet, when the opposition comes, we have no idea what to do. Would y'all step back for a second? Because the truth of the matter is, all of us have not figured out that our opposition plays all five players full court press all the time. Ladies and gentlemen, let me introduce to you our opposition. Ladies and gentlemen, give it up for the Wicked Wisdom. Here they come. The Wicked Wizards. The Wicked Wizards. The Wicked Wizards. Ah! The Wicked Wizards. All right, shut up, sit down. Wickedness tries to intimidate you. It walks in pride. And they play all of their players. See, most of us, I want to paint this picture so vividly so you never forget it. Okay, I want to give you the opposition. See, this is prayer, but the opposition of prayer, you know what it is? It's independence. Independence, come here. Prayer and independence. Y'all stand right there. Face each other. Yeah, come on, prayer. Do a push-up or something. No. But I want to let you know, if you don't put prayer in the game, you're saying that I don't need God. there was a quote that I once heard that said, a day without prayer is a boast against God. That every day you go without praying, you're saying, God, I don't need you. It's okay. No, I don't need you. I'll be safe without you. I run this anyway. And most of us, we have decided to only pray when we need something. Not pray because it's what we need. You missed it. We pray when we need instead of praying because it's what we need. And all I'm saying to you right now is this big old joker of independence is something we're gonna fight every day. It is an opposition that every person, how many of us like, forget it, I don't need you, I don't need you, and I sure don't need you, Jerome. You know, we all have, and that's when God says, pray about everything. Bring that boss, bring that coworker, bring that thing, because independence is gonna play. Y'all go sit down, because the other thing is that when if you don't read the Bible, there's an opposition to not reading the Bible. Do y'all know, hold on. Write this down. The game of life is not just a warm-up, it's warfare. The Bible tells us in Ephesians 6:12, for we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in the darkness, the dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. I'm not trying to make this spooky, I'm trying to make it real. When you don't pray, when you don't do what God says, they come in after you. The enemy wants to steal, kill, and destroy your life, family, legacy. He wants to steal your purpose. And you won't even put the players on the floor that God tells you that you can win with? Okay. Write this down. You can't overcome without opposition. I'm an overcomer. What are you overcoming? Opposition. And most people think opposition is a sign that God is not with them. What you need to understand is opposition is necessary to show God is with you. You cannot overcome if there's nothing to go over. Okay. And so God is telling you, put all the players on the floor. Stop hating the player. Stop hating the player that maybe your mom or your dad misrepresented. Stop hurting the player because one time you were hurt in that area. You read the Bible one time and you thought it was the right interpretation and people made fun of you because you had it wrong and you was just trying. And because there was hurt there, now you step back. Well, I can't say this, but Mephibosheth, I don't like looking stupid. I ain't reading the word no more. You're saying that's a funny example. There's people who will not read the Bible because they don't want to look dumb. Let me tell you, just make it up. That's what all preachers do. We don't know what them words are. No, some of us study, but other ones, I just be like, mononymousky. And you know what? I get the point. Come on, y'all. Mononymousky, obey God. Thank you, mononymousky. All I'm saying is, sometimes we keep players off the floor because of hurt. We were injured in an area. And what I'm telling you right now is put all your players on the floor. Because when God tells you to read the Bible daily, Bible reading, come up here. He tells you to read the Bible, but the problem is, if you don't read the Bible, guess what the opposition of not reading the Bible is? Ignorance. Come on up here, ignorance. And ignorance, watch this, ignorance is a menace. Because ignorance doesn't look very powerful up against the Word of God. But ignorance does stuff to annoy you. Y'all ever played somebody that played defense and they just annoying? Get off me. Just move. Like, you can't. That's what ignorance is. It robs you in the light because you didn't study in the dark. Hear what I just said to you. Ignorance robs you in front of people because you didn't do what you were supposed to do in the dark. That's why the Bible says for us in 2 Timothy, it says, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly being able to divide the word of truth. That's why I'm asking everybody, become literate in the Bible. Like, study the Bible. Get a topical study Bible. Go to Barnes and Nobles. Go to Amazon and order something that breaks it down. Get a concordance. Get something that you don't just take it at face value. Like, man, this is a book that was old. So maybe I need to know what they meant when they were saying this. Because when you get an understanding, you walk in. Somebody say wisdom. Okay. And some of y'all are walking in ignorance, quoting Bible scriptures. That's why when everybody says, I could do all my favorite scriptures, I could do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You know. Because that scripture is Paul talking. And if you listen to what he said before it, he's literally saying, I've been flogged. I've been beaten, I've been shipwrecked, I've had a lot, I've had a little, I was killing Christians, now I am a Christian. He said, I've learned contentment in every season. So I have concluded, I can do all things, be broke or be blessed. That is not saying you can dunk if you're 5'4". Yet, ignorance will put something in a place that makes us think that God said he's going to do something, which creates resentment because you had an unspoken expectation. You kept quoting, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And you've been trying to do something that God didn't call you to do. And so now you're feeling it hurt. And now you got to deconstruct your faith because at this point you are frustrated by something you made up and God never said. Okay, let me walk back over here. So that's why we got to read the Bible. Y'all go sit down right here. Here, let me show you the opposition of gathering in church, because a lot of people are fighting this one. Because a lot of people don't come to church consistently because you feel like it doesn't matter that much. But this is what I'm going to tell you, especially in 2025, where gathering has been the practice of the church since it started. Go to Acts 2:42. You got it good because they gathered every day. You mad about once a week? Imagine seeing me every day. Good morning. How you doing? Hair look good. They gathered every day around the apostles' teachings. And they shared everything that they had. But if you don't gather, come here, gathering, then something else comes, isolation. And more people are being taken out by isolation because they will not consistently gather in the house of God. And God is telling you right now, the thing you're praying against, God, just let me have some friends. They're at church. Lord, please let me not feel lonely. They're at church. God, I want to get married. They got to be at church. Do you understand what I'm saying? Come on, sis, put whatever you got down in the name of Jesus. I'm going to keep preaching. But we thank God that there's deliverance that is happening right here. I think she heard the message from a few weeks ago that said to lay aside every weight. And she's called, y'all should be rejoicing right now. There's a weight being laid aside right now. You don't know what it is. You don't know where it is. But we believe that God is doing a work. This is why we come to church, because we're getting out of what God has for us, what he planned for us. Everybody listen to me, and I need the church to be praying, because this is what we do. We invite the broken. We invite the hurting. We invite those who have been violated. We invite those who have been, okay, y'all so bothered by the way it happened that you can't even celebrate what God's doing. You don't know the desperation that was in that moment. You don't know how much fear that had to be overcome to get in that moment. Listen, and some of you, well, maybe it was a show. She didn't have to do it at that moment. Hey, listen, I've been at a place of desperation before where it couldn't wait another minute. Our team is ministering to her right now. And you better get ready for more of that. If you want everything to be politically correct and put in the right, if you come to the hospital and you bleed now, they put you in surgery right then. They don't wait for another moment. Why? Oh, I forgot. Gathering at church is for you. Instead of it being the hospital for humanity, it has become a club for the holy. And I'm just saying, man, if you perfect, go start your own church. Because everybody in here has a story, a testimony. And the only reason sometimes I feel better about what God's doing in my life is I come to church. And I see other broken people lifting their hands. And I see other struggling fathers crying. And I see other single mothers trying to figure out how to make ends meet. And they're trying to do what God's called them to do and worshiping at the altar with their children because their daddy is nowhere to be found. All I do is I see people saying, God, if you can do anything, I'm coming to you. But do you know how the enemy picks us off? Isolation. And the truth of the matter is, even as I'm talking to this screen right now, there are people at home right now that you have the ability to be in a house. And I'm not scolding you because maybe because of hurt and frustration and being treated wrong, something has kept you away from gathering. What I'm saying is you got to try again. Because the isolation and the lies, sometimes you just need a person to interrupt that. You need a hug to interrupt that. You need a smile to interrupt that. You need to be in the presence. When we were singing earlier today, something changed on the inside of me. Hearing everybody sing, here's my worship. I was like, what else do I have to give? Something happens when we gather together. And today, if you're fighting isolation, God gave you a cure in his starting five. Gather with other believers. Get in an ecclesia. Okay, let me keep going. Y'all sit down. We're almost there. The Bible says in Hebrews 10:25, in case anybody needs Bible for that, and let us not neglect our meeting together, as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. Okay, here we go. The opposition of fasting. Real quick. Fasting, come up here. See, the opposition of fasting, watch this. It's idolatry. If you never fast, you have idols. I can guarantee there are other things in your life that have a position God is supposed to fill. For many of us, it's money. For some of us, it's success. For others of us, it's women. Some of us, it's men. But there is an idol. If you don't kill your flesh will kill you. And that's why I tell people, everybody's like, I did the Daniel's fast. I did the 21 days fast. I do it a fast with the church. You shouldn't just do a fast with the church. You should live a fasted life. Some of y'all should every Monday. What you doing? None of your business. Because I don't got to tell everybody. Y'all out here fasting. Look. Y'all look skinny. This is not a diet. If you're going to still gossip, I saw that tweet. If you're going to still gossip and lie, you might as well eat. Like, do you understand what I'm saying? You might as well take a bite of chicken. What God's trying to do is he's trying to take layers off of your heart and your life. But some things, the Bible says, only get changed through prayer and fasting. The crazy thing is, there's another piece of opposition that's right here. And this guy's name is supposed to be playing against giving. But immaturity keeps you from giving. Thinking that you got it all together and God don't know what he's talking about, immaturity makes you not give. So the whole team is on the floor. Coach, you represent the people. You can go sit down. Whole team is for you. Y'all got a ball? Whole team is on the floor. Give them a ball. You stand right there, coach. Okay? Y'all going this way. Coach, ask the people who they should put on the floor. Who y'all want to put on the floor to go against them? Everybody. Yeah. Duh. But in your life. Which player gets put on the floor first? Come on, talk to me. What is it? Prayer, Bible. Everybody for Bible, raise your hand. Everybody for prayer, raise your hand. Who's up? Okay, prayer's out here. Come on out here, prayer. Prayer! Put him on the floor, coach. All right. Y'all go score. Prayer, your prayer life is woe out. Look at prayer. Come on, get him. Prayer, go. Your prayer life is woe. Look at all the work prayer got to do by itself. I bind and rebuke and I come against the lies. And then what happens? Independence dunking on you. Okay, all right, all right. Prayer. He needs some help. I see that man. He needs some milk. Who else? Who we putting in the game? Who? Bible? Come on out here, Bible. Y'all give it up for the Bible on the Kingdom Conquerors. All right. Bible and prayer. Five against two. Let's go. Look at him. Got a little more. Got a little more. A little more. Oh, shoot. Easy. Now, hold on. Stop. The only thing Bible and prayer can do against this many people is Steph Curry it. From right there. Come on, just go. Come on, from right there. Oh, so close. So close. So close to getting the transformation. So close to my son or daughter coming back to God. So close to walking free from that addiction. So close. But many times we're throwing up shots, prayers, scriptures, and we ain't got all our players on the floor. We still got fasting. Y'all, who y'all want to put in next? We still got fasting and going to church. Gathering, coming to church. I need some other belief. Come on, come into church. Get out of here. Woo, all right. Let's play. Here we go. Y'all got to score at least once. Lord Jesus. Lord. Nope, block him. Now watch. Now watch. Watch, watch, watch. I hit a full shout. Because for once in my life, after 21 days of prayer and fasting, I put Bible in, I put prayer in, I put fasting in. And God, he spoke. And I got 1 point. Scored, well, 2 points, but I scored one goal. And then I get discouraged. Because it took all that. It took all, to just get, they're tired because they're incomplete. Your spiritual life gets tired because you're not using all the players. And I just want you to see this right now. The opposition has not taken a break. Because their whole goal is to stop you from doing what God's called you to do. That goal represents your purpose. That goal represents you being the man or the woman of God that he's created you to be. That goal represents you touching other people's lives. And the enemy wants to twist all of your effort into something that, watch this, makes you so frustrated that you throw the ball to the other team. Give it to them. And y'all go sit down on the bench. Have you ever seen a player check themselves out the game? I dare say that many believers have put all their people on the bench. And God's like, hey, they're about to run up the score. And it's about to be not good. If you don't put somebody, okay, I guess I'll go to Easter. Come on. Play. Thank God for ransom. Yeah. And then Easter's over. Give them the ball because you ain't coming back. Come on. Go sit down. Come on, y'all. But what would happen? What would happen if all of these players that are currently on the bench actually found themselves on the floor? Y'all come on out here. Coach, get them in. Come on, blow the whistle, coach. Blow the whistle. Get on the floor. Now listen. Uh-oh. Now we have a matchup. That four out of the five players have somebody that they can play one-on-one with. There are things the enemy's trying to wear you out with that God has a direct answer for it. A direct answer for it. But you got to put fasting on the floor. You got to put gathering on the floor. You got to put Bible reading. You got to put prayer on the floor. Y'all, score a basket, please. Somebody score a basket. Now, y'all keep them from trying to score a basket. Uh-huh, okay. There's some fouls in there. There's some fouls, but okay. But the wicked, they play dirty. Come on, let's go. What y'all doing? The whole world is watching y'all. Y'all looking trash right now. Whoa. Uh-oh, uh-oh, uh-oh. Uh-oh, uh-oh, uh-oh. 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 Oh, I like it. Come on, let's see what else happens. Go, go. Yeah, yeah. Let me get out the way. Oh, out of bounds on black. It's white ball. Come on out here. White ball, you get the, it's white ball. You want the ball? Get it fasting. Here we go. Come on, come on. Uh-oh. Oh, oh, Jesus, oh, Lord. Oh, uh-oh. Oh. Fasting. All right. We'll be here till 4 o'clock. And everybody like, let's go. Jersey sold in the Represent store. Okay. I'm just... All right, watch. We should do an all-star game or something here one Sunday. We should do that. Okay, we're going to do that. See all these y'all favorite church singers and pastors spraining ankles. It's a much more formidable game if all four of these players are on the floor. But is it God starting four? Or is it God starting? Hey, giving, could you come out on the floor, please? We all cheer as giving is coming to the floor. Uh-oh. My man over here said, man up, man up, man up, man up. Now when you put giving, dang, that brother's big. When you put give, oh, look at him. All right, well, y'all gotta play now. Come on, let's go. Abuse him. Well, okay. Well, the analogy is made. He got to sit on. All right, all right, all right. When all five players got on the floor, there was a shift of momentum. Uh-oh. When all five players got on the floor, when we had prayer and Bible reading and church gathering and fasting and giving. You should have heard the wicked wizards. They was like, man up, get him, get him. The matchup is not even fair. When you play the players God has intended for our faith. I hope this analogy never leaves your mind. Why did you go through all of this? Because I want you to see that most believers are a few good men down. But if you, the coach of the team, would say, I'm making a decision today. I'm putting prayer in every day. And I'm putting word, I'm reading the word all the time, and I'm coming to church regularly. And whenever God puts it on my heart to fast, I'm gonna push my plate away. I'm gonna push Netflix away. I'm gonna push all that. And I ain't gonna tell everybody, if you don't hear from me, it's because I'm fasting. Please leave me. Shut up. The Bible says you're not supposed to look ashy around the mouth so everybody can give you a piece of food. Stop. You should actually be more vibrant. But for many of you, I'm just coming to tell you, don't hate the player. Giving hasn't played in your game yet. And God's coming to ask you, would you make giving the foundation? For God so loved the world, he... I mean, you can still see my giving. Oh, y'all missed it. I'm not that big, but my giving, when I walk around, you don't even understand what God could do. All I'm asking is today, would you trust God with his starting five to be your starting five? Today, many of you got paid on Friday. I don't got no access to none of your phones. I ain't got no bank information. I'm just saying, don't fail this test. God's requiring something of you that takes you to take everybody off the bench and put them in the game. I'm gonna read one more scripture. Y'all can sit on the bench real quick, both of y'all. Matthew 7:24, our last scripture, and we're getting out of here. This is Jesus talking. He said, everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who builds his house on the rock. Pastor Mike, what are you saying? Everybody that puts prayer in the game, that puts Bible reading, gathering in church, fasting, and giving, everybody who does that, they will be like a wise man or woman who builds their house on the rock. And then the rain fell, and then the floods came, and then the winds blew, and then circumstances happened, and I lost some investments, and my house caught on fire, and people stole from me. It doesn't matter what the situation is, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. Verse 26, and everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and my baby daddy left me, and I lost my job. Come on, I'm just trying to make it real. And I wrecked my car on accident, and the wind blew and beat against the house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. Today, as your pastor, I feel like in this third week of this series, my greatest desire is for everybody to build their house on the rock. This is what Jesus said. Not what Pastor Mike or a pastor said. It's what Jesus said. Don't hate the player. Change the game. Right now, if you decide to do it God's way, you will change the game of your life, of your future, of your family's future. And today, we're not going to worship wealth. We're not going to be wicked. And we're not going to waste wealth. We're not going to be wicked. Don't put this jersey on. Today, we're going to walk in wisdom. Be kingdom conquerors. And see God do amazing things as we obey his word. Would you stand all over this place? Hey, before you rush out of here, can I pray for you? Would you just lift your hands right now? Today, God, I'm asking you, come on, hands lifted. If you know this word has convicted you and there's something in you that you know you need to change, you need to change the game today. Today, I just want you to lift your hands. Father, I pray for every person under the sound of my voice, those who are struggling maybe with one of the things that you've called us to, maybe several of the things you've called us to. Father, today I'm asking you for a new revelation of what it means to put all of the players that you've given us in the game. God, I thank you that this moment will be ingrained. And I thank you, Father God, that you are working on the hearts of men and women right now to believe you beyond what they've seen before. Today, I thank you for transformation. I thank you, Father God, that somebody's getting the faith and the courage to step over the line. Father, I thank you that there's high school students in here that are making decisions that are going to change their family forever. I thank you, Father, that there are senior citizens in here, Father God, that have said, I've done it the wrong way my whole life, but today I'm making a new commitment. God, I thank you that whole lines and legacies of people will be changed because of practical wisdom and quick obedience. Father, for every person that is taking the step over the line today to tithe, I thank you that the prayer I've prayed privately, I'll pray it publicly. Father, let your windows of heaven be poured out so much, Father God, expand them with so much fruit that they don't even feel it. God, I thank you today that Transformation Church will become collectively, watch this, and individually, the most generous church, because we obey as you increase. Change us from the inside out, God. In Jesus' name. Everybody look at me real quick. I started to think about giving. And I'll just put this little phrase with it. When you get your notes, or if you're typing on your phone, if you're still there, I want you to write this down. Giving is our calling. A lot of people are like, Pastor Mike, I'm trying to figure out my calling. I want to know what God's called me to do. God's called every believer to give. Not just money, to give. How do you get saved? For God so loved the world, he gave. How do you invite somebody else to get saved? You have to give them an invitation. This whole Christian life is about giving. And when I thought about the mark of our church, we're a church of generosity. We give just to give and not to get. We don't give for love, we give from love. And God has blessed us. And I said, what would it look like for on this day where God's doing surgery on our hearts, for us to not pray for a blessing, but be a blessing to somebody else? And so I begin to think, like, hold on, this is our calling as a church. We've done it over and over because of the faithfulness of the people in this room and all over the world. Today, we're going to exercise our calling one more time. Is it okay if we exercise and walk in our calling? So I heard about a church that just started about 3 weeks ago. in Austin, Texas. It's called House of Light Church, Pastor Will Wilson Jr. Would somebody call them and tell them that a check for $100,000 is on the way? Oh, y'all better help me praise God in this place. They just started, and we're going to bless them to be able to touch the city of Austin. Somebody say, don't hate the player. Yeah. It's giving. It's giving. No, nobody hates the player of giving when they're on the receiving end. Nobody hates it when they're on the receiving end. But do you know what the Bible says? It's more blessed to keep than it is to. I want to know what that feels like. So we getting practice today. So I heard about another church that's in Memphis, Tennessee. Dr. Kia, that is at the Church of the Well. Will somebody send her this message right here and let her know that Church at the Well Church, there's $100,000 on the way to you today on behalf of God and Transformation Church. I dare you to celebrate like it just happened to you. Your heart is getting exposed. When you can celebrate what God is doing, it means he's in the neighborhood and he's trying to figure out who can steward over more. And it's so crazy, like, to watch people's reaction when we do this, because the enemy does one of two things. He either makes you celebrate. The enemy doesn't make you celebrate. You either celebrate, enemy's on me, because you think about the goodness of God. You think about being a church and you in church right now doing something or at a house and somebody, God puts you on somebody else's mind. And that means that God may be talking to somebody else about my situation right now. It gets you hyped. You get excited or you get jealous. Well, why wouldn't God do that for me? Why hasn't he done it? Y'all, I'm trying to tell you that the heart of generosity, it's what God is wanting to work into all of us. And Pastor Mike, why do we do this publicly? It's our giving. I don't want to be behind the scenes making decisions with this. I'm a man of integrity. I'm not about to just, we did this. And so today I got one more church that the Holy Spirit direct. And let me just say that. When I'm giving as the lead servant of this church, the team will tell you, they've been asking me for 3 weeks who we giving to. And if the Lord don't speak, I'm not about to fool with what God is commanding us to do with earth. I don't know these people. I don't got no connection with these people. God is doing this. And I believe he's going to do it even more. Y'all didn't even hear me. Thank you, Jared, for one more person to believe. What if, how many weeks are in a year? What if we gave $100,000 away every week? Y'all don't hear me. Pastor Tammy, what if we could give to another church every time we gathered? We gave $100,000 to another ministry, nonprofit, or church. You ain't even got to give. You can at least celebrate with me. God, y'all. One day, because eyes have not seen and ears have not. I've never heard of that before. What's that? My math is kind of, that's 5.2, right? 52, 5.2, 100,000. Hold on, is that right? Carry to zero to zero minus 10. Tammy's like, yes. 5.2. We're going to do it one day. Mark my words. Because there, it's that Hezekiah blessing. He said, no, this is just a 10%. God has blessed their businesses. God has blessed their homes. God has blessed their lives. Okay. So the last church, God is doing something in this church that is so special. I've gotten to see firsthand what God is doing. And this pastor actually came to Tulsa earlier this year to talk about their transition, never asked for anything, and I wasn't even thinking, and the Holy Spirit put them on our heart through one of our staff members. And so today, I need somebody to travel over to California, Orange County, I think it is, and I need you to tell Pastor Bianca and Revere Church that there's a check for $300,000. I said there's a check for $300,000 coming to you to help you do what God called you to do in California. Will somebody give God some praise? Yeah. It's our calling. So it may not be $300,000 to an organization today, but it could be $30 to that mom behind you at Kava. It could be $300 at Target today. You got extra, that tax return hit, glory to God. And you was about to buy a TV. I don't know why TVs are the thing. And God may be saying, hey, listen so I can tell you where to give. Next week, I have one more message that's going to tear the roof off. I believe it's going to change the way we see giving forever. But it's hard to give when you haven't received. So today, if you've never received the greatest gift ever given, today I want to give you the opportunity to receive Jesus. See, some of you this whole time, your heart has been being moved. That was the Holy Spirit trying to move your heart. Watching this, you laughed, you jumped, you felt the Spirit. He's been drawing you. Because for your whole life, he's been there watching. And he wants a relationship. He wants a connection with you. He wants to guide you. He wants to take you from where you are to where he formed you to be. So today, if you're in this room or you're online, and today you want to make Jesus Christ your personal Lord and Savior, I want to let you know today is the day of salvation. Yes. Not Easter, not next time you come. We're not guaranteed that. Somebody say today. If you're watching this and you just in the living room because somebody put it on and you can't wait till this turns off so you can watch the game. Peekaboo. God sees you. And he loves you. And he knows you. And he wants to take the pain away. But that takes this one word, surrender. And so today, if you're listening to my voice, whether it's in a car, in this room, on a rebroadcast, on YouTube, today is the day that God's saying, come home. Get out the streets. And some of y'all are like, I am not for the streets. You can be in the penthouse and still be in the streets spiritually. Do you hear what I'm saying? This is the one decision that took me from being a liar, a manipulator. Somebody who was addicted to pornography, had very dark things in my heart, was on a road to destruction and death. And God just said, hey, you can make a U-turn and repent, and you can go to the place I designed for you. And I'm telling you, I haven't arrived there. I'll be going this way until the day I go to meet him in heaven. But I promise you, the scenery going this way is totally different than what I was experiencing going that way. Today, I want to offer you Jesus. On the count of three, if you want to receive Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, I just want you to lift your hand, and I need the church to start praying right now because somebody's life is in the balance. This is why this church exists, so that you can be transformed in Christ. One, you're making the greatest decision of your life. Two, I'm proud of you, but more than that, your name is about to be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. If you want to make Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior, three, lift your hand up in this place. I see you, sir. I see you. I see you, my brother. So proud of you. I see you, my brother. Come on, bold hands. I see you. I see you. Oh, come on, church. I see you. But more than that, God sees you. Glory to God. I feel the presence of God. Let me tell you what happened right now in heaven. If just one person gives their life to Christ, heaven turns up. Every angel, everybody like, yo, 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 yo. somebody in Tulsa, somebody in California, somebody in Florida just decided to give their life to Jesus. And so today at Transformation Church, I want you to know we're a family. Nobody prays alone. So could you lift your hands and say, God, thank you for sending Jesus just for me. Today, I surrender my life. You can use all of me. I believe you lived, you died, and you rose again with all power so that I may live with your power. Change me. Renew me. Transform me. I'm yours. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, can we turn up right now and thank God for every person? Hallelujah. Hey, if you just made that decision, I want you to text SAVED to 828282 or take the QR code on the screen. And don't forget this week to put in all five of your players. Okay? Don't hate the player. If you would love prayer before you leave, the church is a place of prayer. The team will be here in the front and in the back. And we want you to get prayer. The worship team is about to sing. And some of you just need to linger around and let the Spirit of God move with you. He's working some things out. Transformation Nation, don't log off. I'm about to pray with you in the back. And if you would love to meet our pastors, meet me. I'm going to be back there today. You can go across the hall in the South Ballroom. And we have this little thing called Meet the Pastors. Grab your kids and come over there. And I would love to hug you and just thank God for all he's doing in your life. So proud of you, church. I'm so proud. I can't wait to report back to you next week how many more people have taken a step of faith to give. And we're going to see God do something. Until next week, I want you to go out and live a transformed life. Let's worship just for a second. Glory to God.
Christ is my firm foundation.
Yes, sir.
The rock on which I stand, when everything around me is shaking. I've never been more glad that I put my faith in Jesus. He's never let me down. He's faithful in every season. So why would he fail now?
Sing it out, sing.
He won't, never, never, no. He won't.
Sing this next part, say.
And I've still got joy in chaos. I've got peace that makes no sense. And I won't be going under. I'm not held by my own, 'cause I built my life. He's never let me down, no, no, no.
He's never let me down.
Faithful through generations.
Faithful through generations.
So why would he fail now?
So why would he fail?
Transformation Nation, I am so excited that you were here and a part of this moment. I hope you enjoyed service today. If you're on a device that you can let us know where you're watching from and where you're worshiping from, we would love to know. The team is monitoring it right now and they're sending me who's out there. And today, if you just literally made that commitment to Jesus, I want you to text SAVE to 828282. We are so excited for what God is doing. And this series is taking us to a whole nother level. We're putting in every one of the players God has called us to, especially giving. And today I want to celebrate some of the people that have made a commitment to tithing. I want to tell you that this is a big deal because I've seen it transform not just my life, but so many others. And I know that God wants us to celebrate the small things. The Bible talks about God rejoicing over the beginning, the little thing, the start. And some of us have made decisions. And so today I want to celebrate Shay and Katrina and Cassandra and all of the people, the over 600 people that have made a decision to give for the first time, and the over 300 people that have started doing it reoccurring, said, I'm not even going to think about it. I'm going to honor God first. Today I want to pray with you. If that's your prayer request, that you want to be one that starts honoring God and you want to be prayed for, I really want to pray for you. I want you to put me, it's me, I will honor God. Put it in the chat, say it out loud. I want to honor God, because the Bible tells us that God gives seed to the sower. You can make up in your mind right now that I'm going to be one who sows, and God will be the one to give seed for that thing. And today I know that there are more prayer requests that are coming in from all over the world, and I'm gonna speak specifically to them. And if you have another prayer request, from healing, mental illness, transformation, moving cities, children issues, put it in. We wanna pray. Today it's my honor to go to God with you, but for you. Today we pray for John in Arizona, and Father God, even as he needs healing in his kidney, Father God, as he's walking through kidney failure, God, I'm thanking you for wisdom. I'm thanking you for hope, and I'm thanking you for healing in the name of Jesus. Father, you are the God that put his body together, and any person that is struggling, Father God, with any type of infirmity, we speak right now in the name of Jesus to wisdom of what to do. We thank you if he needs a kidney transplant. I thank you that the donor comes. Father God, I thank you that the process is sped up. God, I thank you that you would do more than what we can imagine. We pray for Shay right now, whose daughter, Father, is in the process of recovering from drug addiction. Father, as this is a hard situation, I thank you, Father God, that you would literally be the comforter, that you would come alongside of Shay and you would help her. Father God, that everything that needs to be washed out of her system, Father God, I thank you that those cravings and those desires, Father God, would be gone in the name of Jesus. Supernaturally, Father, do what the medicine cannot, Father. However long they're saying it is going to take, I thank you that you would do it quicker than that, because you are a God that intervenes on the behalf of your children. So today, for any addiction, whether it be food addiction, drug addiction, Father God, pornography, I thank you that there's a breakthrough that's happening. I need you to believe right now in the name of Jesus. Any addiction that has God's people entrapped, I thank you, Father God, that right now there is a breaking in Jesus' name. Father, we pray, Father God, for the River family, Father. And I thank you, Father God, that even as Sharice's husband is in the hospital right now, I thank you, Father, you are the God that hears and heals. You are the God that hears and you heal. So Father God, thank you for wisdom in the name of Jesus. And Father, for every person that needs financial provision, house provision, come on, if you need provision right now, I want you to lift your hand. Father, I thank you for Jada in Chicago. I thank you that she will be able to be free from debt and literally be able to walk in financial freedom to take care of her family. I declare, Father, that the bondages of poverty and wastefulness, Father God, it would be broken off of her generational line as she honors you, God. I thank you that you would give her special revelation on these principles that are being taught. And I thank you, Father, for favor in the places she needs it, Father God. Let her have boldness to ask for what she needs, Father God. We pray for Jack and Patricia, who both need new jobs. Come on, if you need a new job right now, if you need a new career right now, if you need to be directed, we pray, because our connection to God, the Bible tells us that if we honor God in all our ways or acknowledge him, he would direct our path. So Father, direct Jack and Patricia's path to the new places of employment. Direct my brothers and sisters who have been off of work or disabled, Father God, or looking for what the next season is looking like. I thank you, God, that you are directing us, because all of our help comes from you, God. Today, God, we pray for every person that is dealing with relationship crisis issues, Father God, or relationship adjustments. God, I pray for Amanda B, who you're restoring the relationship she has with her kid's father. God, I thank you, God, that even as we walk in blended families and even broken families, Father God, and how delicate those situations can be, today, God, we're asking you, Father God, that you would supernaturally provide peace to every situation. Come on, I want you to pray for every blended family, for every family, Father, that's about to come into being restored, where a man and a woman are about to get together. I thank you that the kids and the man, or the kids and the woman, Father, that you would allow them to become a family unit, and you would be the one, Father, to put things together in place that don't just think about the husband and the wife, but think about the whole family, God. We declare and believe that the family is going to be put back together, fortified, and will be the beacon of light in our society. God, we pray for Shania, Father God, whose son has just been released from prison. We declare and thank you, Father, that his life will not be snatched away from the old things, but we thank you that whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Father, let him have an encounter with you. Let him, Father God, walk in freedom. Let him find the right places and the right people, Father God. I thank you, Father God, that there will be redemption, and I thank you that their relationship will be restored in a brand new way. Father, we are believing for Philip, and Father God, believing for a wife. God, for every person who's believing for their mate, Father, we declare and believe, God, that you do not let us, Father God, stay in positions without being able to ask you for our heart's desire. Father God, I thank you that you would change our heart's desires if it's out of line with you. And I thank you that we will worship you while we wait. I thank you that we will work while we wait. I thank you, Father God, that we will have wisdom while we wait. Today, Father, I thank you for divine unions and divine connections. Do what only you can do, God. Today, God, we thank you that you have shown us the big plan for every believer, that we're supposed to be ones who have a connection with you through prayer, that we are supposed to be ones who are consistent in Bible reading. We are supposed to be ones, Father, that gather with the church community. We are ones that are supposed to, whenever you say fast, and Father God, we are ones that are supposed to, every time you say it, give. Today, I thank you that we are not leaving any of the players you have called to the game of life out of our walk of faith. We trust you, we believe you, and we thank you for all you've said, all you've done, and all you're about to do. We give you glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' name. Somebody type amen, say amen, shout amen. Love you so much. Y'all, God is doing something so significant. I'm gonna ask you, many of you need to watch this message again. You need to ask God to give you revelation now. You watched it, you saw it, but now you need revelation. How does this apply to my life? And I'm asking some of you, as soon as it comes up today at 5, I want you to go to YouTube, click that little share link, and I need you to send it to 5 people. Transformation starts with an invitation. And some people need to hear this that aren't gonna look for it. But God sent you here today that you could be the conduit of their transformation. I can't tell you how many stories that we hear that people's lives have completely been changed because one person decided to share what God did here with them. And I want you to be one of those people. Hey, listen, couple of announcements. Easter at TC is happening April 18th, 19th, and 20th. We are showing this here in Tulsa 4 times, 2 on Sunday. But if you want to come join us, I'm telling you this early so you can get your plane ticket, your train ticket. You can start swimming now. You can ride a bike. You can run. Whatever you want to do, we want you to be here because Ransom this year is going to be next level. Y'all, I've been in some of the rehearsals, listening to the new music, seeing, it's just phenomenal. And if you have a lost family member, somebody that is far from God, you need to make a decision to either get here or invite them over on Sunday morning, April 20th, as we will be showing Sunday's presentation. And I want you to see what God would do if you be a conduit. And for everybody that's in Tulsa and online that's a part of our dig, we got a new start time starting this Wednesday. We usually start at 6 o'clock, but starting April 2nd, we're starting, so not this Wednesday, the next one, we're starting at 6:30 p.m. CST. So we want you to be a part of that. Hey, y'all, I love you so much. I believe that the best days of your life are right in front of you as you walk in wisdom with everything that God has given you. Until next week, go out and live a transformed life. I love you.
I hope that that message left a picture in your mind of how God wants to resource you for every opposition that comes up in your life. Put prayer in the game, put reading the word in the game, put fasting in the game, put going to church in the game, and put giving in the game. When you put giving in the game, it changes the game. I'm so proud of you, for every one of you that has taken the step to actually honor God in returning the tithe and obeying Him and giving offerings. I'm telling you, your world is getting larger because you're obeying God in giving. Transformation Church, this is what we do. To be able to obey God and progress in our journey of faith, this is what transformation is all about. Hey, if this message has blessed you at all, if this ministry has blessed you, I'm asking you to do two things. Number one, pray about giving. Like, if God is telling you to do something, give. And you can do that from the QR code, or you can go to our church website or the app, and you can do it. No pressure, no compulsion, but this is a step of our faith. Number two, share this with somebody. Transformation starts with an invitation. And there's somebody you know that needs to hear what God said through this message. It could be the change that they've been praying for. I love you. Until next week, go out and live a transformed life. Peace.